sweat technique.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, so I've been thinking about this for an hour. 713-780-ESPN, franchise tag deadline. Texans did not use a tag, but they signed Dalton Schultz in a three-year, $36 million deal. $12 million per year, 23.5 of it's guaranteed. Did I get that right off the top of my dome? I did. They didn't tag John Grenard. I wanted them to tag Grenard more than I wanted them to re-sign Schultz, but I'd be cool if they re-signed Schultz to this deal and then tag Grenard. I think that if you weren't going to tag Grenard and you weren't going to get a deal done with Grenard, why didn't you just tag Schultz at $11 million and change?
It's a good call. I mean, when you think about it, and I misunderstood when you wanted to tag Grenard in the fact that if you do the non-exclusive and you can still move on from him and trade him, that makes some sense to me. It was just the fact that I didn't want to just guarantee him 20 and that be it and be done with it. From a Dalton Schultz perspective, yeah, I mean, you and I were both hoping that it would be, you know, single digits in terms of the millions of dollars a year, more like 9, but, you know, even 10 would have been a lot easier to digest than going 12 and going 3 years. But, you know, if they feel that he's that important to their offense, if they feel like he can get better and that he is important to CJ and Slowick and everything that they're doing offensively, then I trust that Nick Caserio made a decision that, you know, that he knows more than me and that it's the right fit for this team at this time. So I'll go with it for now. I'm just curious, like, how many other deals, when they start signing deals, whether it's their own or others, are they going to be under the projections instead of over to see if they can make up for this?
I think that's more reason to just tag Schultz then, because it saves you a little under a million. It's not a huge savings. You're paying for his happiness, I guess. But but there's also risk there, because if he doesn't have a good year, now you're on the hook for the following season at guaranteed money, if we're assuming that all the guaranteed money's in the first 2 years. It just doesn't seem like the best fiscal, like, responsibility. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't, like, sometimes fiscal responsibility is not the best interest for the team. Like, I think happiness does come into play. Like, they are people. They're not just, like, you know, algorithms. They're not just robots. They do have feelings, too. And I also think it helps, like, CJ Stroud, continuity, things like that. But from a purely fiscal point of view, purely fiscal, say that 10 times fast. If you knew that you weren't going to tag John Grenard, why not just tag Dalton Schultz? Am I missing something here? 713-780-3776. Because Schultz wouldn't go anywhere next year. It's less than half of the guaranteed money that you're giving Schultz. It's a lower average annual value. It gives you a little bit more money in free agency. I don't really understand.
Are you doing him a solid because he didn't want another one-year deal? And are you concerned that if you tagged him that he definitely wasn't going to look to go and to sign long-term and he was going to want to get out because he felt like he was, you know, whether it was a conversation or at some point there was any discussion or it just was he felt like he got mistreated in the fact that he left Dallas because he wanted a multi-year deal. He proved himself in his mind. And that if you just tagged him, that it would tick him off. I know you don't care about those things.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there as a possible response. No,
it's not that I don't care about them. It's just that I value we over me.
Right.
I value team way more. Now, I think that's what it was, to be honest with you, Blankers. Like, what else could it be? I think they were buying his happiness a little bit.
Yep.
Which, okay, that's fine. Like, happiness is important. Like, it's team morale. Yay. I do think that there is value in that. That's why I said purely fiscal. Whatever. 713-780-ESPN if I'm missing something on that front.
Well, you know, the other thing just to consider in all this, too, if you're Nick, was maybe, you know, as we were talking about this earlier in the show, maybe when you look at everybody else that was out there, you're like, there just wasn't any options that were better than him or close to him, and I had to have him back.
Well, he's not going anywhere, though, if you tag him.
Right, for 1 year. Right.
Yeah.
But like, if he is, and you feel like he is going to be a building block in the next 3 years with CJ, with however else they continue to build with their receivers and their offense, that you just feel like, hey, I'd rather him to be happy and him feeling like we took care of him.
Yeah, I think you bought his happiness. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that in a negative way. I know sometimes I can kind of come across as that. 713-780-ESPN. I want the Texans to enter the draft with capable starters at every position. maybe a tall order. But I have a pretty low bar when I'm talking about capable starters. Like, if you brought back Derek Barnett and your idea was to draft a defensive end at 23, okay, I think Barnett's a capable starter. I'm not saying a good starter. I'm saying a capable starter. I want the Texans to enter the NFL draft with a capable starter at every single position. Defensive end, linebacker, blah, 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 blah. Running back is one of those positions, and linebacker is one of those positions next to Christian Harris, whether you need one or whether you need two. Which tier should the Texans be buying from, though? Looking at this first from a running back perspective, Bill Barnwell had a bunch of tiers for different positions, looking at running backs and linebackers today. Tier one, he had a franchise player. He listed it as Saquon Barkley, projected him at $12 million. His Pro Bowl caliber starters, he had Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Aaron Jones. Never used that to determine, like, to give somebody accolade or praise. But Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Aaron Jones, assuming those guys are cut. Projected salary, $9 million. And then the tier three were capable starters. Austin Eckler, Josh Jacobs. That's disrespectful for Josh Jacobs.
You and I talked about that yesterday. I think he's sliding.
I think that Bill Barnwell's on crack. DeAndre Swift, Alvin Kamara, Joe Mixon. And then tier four, he had borderline starters, Tony Pollard, Devin Singletary. Tier five, A.J. Dillon, Gus Edwards, Ezekiel Elliott, Antonio Gibson, Zach Moss. So we're kind of eliminating names here. And then tier six are like just the jabronis, the jobbers, just the guys. Which tier should the Texans be shopping from in NFL free agency at the running back position?
To me, I don't know that they should be or they could be, but I like the fact that you can look at the potential of like tier three and tier four in a combo platter, one from each tier, and I think you would still be fine. I think that Aaron Jones, it's an interesting situation. It's in his contract, and it's very weirdly written that the team can restructure without his permission, but if they do, that the agent and the player have to agree to the fact that it's probably going to be a pay cut as part of that. If it doesn't work out and he hits the market, he's got Texas roots. I think the Cowboys and the Texans, he'd be a great fit. But because of McCarthy and Dallas, I think that might be a better fit. And we'll have to see. But just the way he put this thing out there, I wouldn't be disappointed if you ended up with Tony Pollard and Devin Singletary and didn't have to break the bank. Because if people in the NFL, and I agree with you, I don't think they think the way that he thinks, borderline starter, high-end backup, Singletary was more than that a year ago. Pollard was as well. If you get those two guys, but get them at Saquon money, and you get two for the price of one with those two guys, I'd be happy.
I want to draft offensive skill and weapons. I like athletes, especially in this type of scheme. I think you can go a lot of different ways with the running back spot. Like you mentioned Singletary, Pollard. Well, what if I went Barkley and rookie? You know, like that's going to be very kind of similar money. I think that Nick Caserio needs to, I expect him to do this, he's a general manager, it's his job, to turn over every stone. Because if this Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs money goes from being a $12 million projection to $8, $9 million projection, that's a much different conversation than what the projections are at 12. So I'm monitoring that. If I can get one of those guys under $10 million, like, okay, we're in business, baby. And if everybody has the combo platter mindset of what like Rossini was reporting and what you mentioned just now, okay, well, that's where all the demand is at. All the demand is this combo platter, get two running backs from the third and fourth tier. All of a sudden, the demand for tier one and tier two comes down. That price comes down. Supply and demand, economics 101. So I'm watching that. And if Saquon Barkley wants to play with C.J. Stroud and he's like, oh, do it for $9 million. Cool. Let's go. Let's ride. Is that what Russell Wilson said?
Yep.
And then same thing with Josh Jacobs. So I'm monitoring this very, very closely. I prefer the top guys if they come down. Like that's a no-brainer, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that they are. Like I think that they are. I think the demand for top-tier running back at north of $10, $11 million, I don't think it's going to be there.
You know what? For the Texans' sake, I hope it is. I hope it's not. And I hope that the market lends itself more towards single digits. I hope, like you said, that Nick turns over every stone and there's a way to find a combo platter, whether it is a middle-round draft pick and a top-of-the-line running back. Or, like I said, depending on how every team ranks and sees the fit for their scheme and system with the guys that are out there, that if you can get two of these guys and you can get them for a more reasonable price in the 5-6 range or a combo that takes you at under 10, either way, it's advantage Texans because it fits exactly what they need to fill the holes and gives you depth and talent with both running backs that and a good fit with both running backs that are going to be counted on during the season.
I think I'm starting to come around to the idea of the top tiers at running back. Now, this would be dependent upon what you guys are talking about. If that price, as Jeremy predicts, does start to come under $10 million AAV, then I'm fully on board with that. And the reason why is, and it kind of goes back to y'all's conversation with Matt Miller, who we had on in segment two, when you're looking at basically his first round or bust in the draft for defensive end, okay, we'd like to go defensive end there. He's talking about how, well, that second group of receivers probably not there at pick 59, so you might have to move up, you know, if you want a wide receiver in the draft. Oh, and you still need to add corner. Corner is deep, but maybe now has to be your third round pick. Now, if you're taking that approach, you're pushing your running back selection into the fourth round, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. There can be obviously good players there in the fourth round for running backs, especially for running back amongst all positions. But obviously the odds of that hitting become lower and lower the further back you push that selection. So I'd like to be able to cross that off the list, like running back, or at least starting running back, taking care of a free agent. And now, because I've paid at the top of the top of free agency for running back, I don't mind waiting to the fifth round, maybe, or the fourth round to get that running back, and I can address pass rusher, corner, and wide receiver with your earlier picks.
I want to enter the draft with a capable starter at every position, and I think that you could say that a lot of these running back tiers, if Devin Singletary's running back one entering the NFL draft, he's a capable starter. My biggest thing though is I don't want to enter the draft with you're needing a starting defensive end, a starting corner, a starting linebacker, because now you're desperate for three starters and you have to nail the draft, which is kind of unrealistic for Nick Caserio.
So I thought you were meant just because you had said earlier you wanted to spell it out to where you spent your money. You're not saying just before the draft hit all your offensive needs. You're talking
absolutely
about all the starter needs, defensively and offensively?
Yeah, but I'm saying capable starter.
Okay.
So a lot of these guys are kind of tweeners between starters, backups. Like Devin Singletary, I think, is a tweener. Singletary can be a serviceable, low caliber starting running back, but capable. But then you can also draft over him. Like if you get on a third round running back and then he turns into your RB1.
I got you.
Same thing with a receiver. Like if you go out and you sign whoever the cheapest is between Curtis Samuel or Gabe Davis, one of those wide receiver threes we've talked about, mm-hmm. you get one of those on a $5-7 million deal. Maybe that's too cheap. Okay, that's a capable third receiver. But then if you drafted one in the second round because one of these studs drops to you, okay, cool. I just don't want to enter the draft with 3 to 4 starters to fill. Because if you're entering the draft with 3 to 4 starters to fill, you're screwed. You're toast. You're done.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, too, because they got, like you said, they've got to be creative. Not just turning over every stone, but be as creative as possible. If you see, and you're savvy to the cap casualties, if you see that there are guys out there, and maybe some of them, have made their share of coin over the first couple years of their career, or the first two contracts, and yet they're not, they haven't experienced the winning, and they want to reprove themselves. Maybe there's an opportunity to pounce there, but be creative. Maybe get them a little bit cheaper so we can use that money somewhere else to fortify other areas. I hope that they can do that because you're right. It's a dangerous perspective going into a draft, knowing that you have a specific need you have to fill and being at the mercy of how the draft falls and the players you evaluated and them being good enough. Because we saw it last year with center, where we looked at it and said, well, center, and then we didn't know at the time that Kenyon Green was going to be hurt. But the last thing you wanted to do was free agency pass. You didn't get a veteran center, and now you're looking at the fact that you're going to have a rookie on your offensive line.
Yeah, that's why I don't need a high bar above average starter, just a capable starter at every spot. And if some of them are above average, cool, even better. You can't do that at every position. I know that in terms of the cap. But just a guy who's capable. The linebackers, my favorite linebackers in this class are Frankie Louvu and Azeez Al-Shaahir. They have them as tier 3, tier 4, so I want a tier 3, tier 4 linebacker. Also, Willie Gay's in that tier 3, and Willie Gay is one of my favorite players. I think he'd be really good for the Texans. So tier 3, tier 4, I'm good at with the Texans.
I see what you did
that
there.
Linebacker.
I'd be fine with that as well. I think the big thing is we talked about is familiarity. I think that you got a guy in D'Amico that would love to have some of his old guys back so that he could get to going, playing the kind of defense with the understanding of the system no matter what he calls. Every step of the way. Jimmy Ward was supposed to be that guy, but he was hurt too much of the season. But if you can get, a linebacker that can really be effective doing those kind of things for D'Amico, I think it's an upside for both.
Yep, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's make mock drafts great again. How do we do it today, and how do we make the Texans better? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to the Killer Bees and some great music presented by RC Ranch,
the official beef jerky of the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. The beautiful music of Oliver Anthony. He's headlining at NRG today. I got to get over there. I got to go over here. Listen to this. I like this guy. This guy makes me want to have a cold beer. This song makes me want to have a cold beer, no doubt about it.
You had that deep, comfortable laugh. That hits you in the right spot.
There's country music makes me want a cold beer. There's a few things that, I mean, I like cold beer. But the things that make me want a cold beer more than anything, good country music, mowing my lawn, and those are probably the top two cold beers.
Okay.
What are your favorite cold beers? 713-780-3776. That's a good cold beer.
Yeah.
That's a good call. That's a really good call. Specifically baseball.
Yep.
Because you can kind of chill. Like, it's a little bit less action-packed, so you're, like, more chilly than normal.
Yep. Get you some good peanuts and popcorn and a cold beer, and you just watch yourself some baseball.
That's a great call. You have a favorite cold beer, Brian?
I'm more of a whiskey guy, but yeah.
Me too. Gentle Ben.
Gentle Ben's, exactly. The reasons that you guys gave to vibe and have one, I would certainly second.
Yeah. I mean, I prefer whiskey and bourbon. I don't always drink beer, but when I do,
I don't really like beer all that much. I do enjoy whiskey, but I don't like beer all that much.
There you go. 713-780-ESPN. We'll make mock drafts great again in 2 minutes. But let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Mark in the Third Ward is on the line. Mark, what's going on, man?
Hey, how y'all doing, man? Hey, I think, man, once Lance gets back, man, because, you know, Lance, he's the cooling person between Bearland and Farmer. Because, you know, Farmer, you know, made me kind of upset. Because, you know, he got you choking on that milk just like a baby on a pot of milk. Like that, you wouldn't understand. But what do you think about getting Zeke Elliott back, man? Because Zeke, you know, he can pick up the block. You know, he cheat. Plus, he can spell motor. I'll take that out there. Thank you. Bye.
Okay.
I thought Spencer was back for here a second, taking shots at us.
That's
saying,
racist.
Yeah, black thing that we wouldn't understand. That was tough. The powdered milk. I think we've all been there.
I'm 3%.
Right.
So I can relate.
I was wondering when I saw this on the board, how I would have been a lot happier if Mark would have started the call with, this is a little bit crazy, but let me throw it out there. Because the fact that he put Zeke Elliott on the Texans is the biggest no thank you in the world. And he started by going, yeah, you can pick up the blitz, you can do something. Nope. No need to see any more of Zeke Elliott in Texas, or at least with the Texans. No thank you.
He is good at that, though. Like, Mark's on point about that. He is good at picking up
the guy blockers.
You're signing a running back to block?
I think you can do worse than Ezekiel Elliott as one of your four running backs. But it would be your RB3, RB4. And he probably already had that with Damian Pierce, although Pierce is terrible at picking up the blocks. I don't hate Ezekiel Elliott in this room, but he's not one of my top two running backs. Like, he had a better year in New England than anybody could have imagined. And he's pretty dang good. You know how many passes he caught last year? Take a guess.
27.
51.
Ooh. I would say the one thing where he could improve the Texans is short yardage and a goal. Yeah.
Like, if he's my third running back and you, like, cut Damian Pierce, okay. All right, I'll listen to that. But he's not one of my top two.
But you know what I'm going to say? At what price? Because he loves
cheap.
Overpricing himself. If he goes cheap,
not anymore.
If he goes cheap and he's your short yardage back, and like you said, the fourth running back in the room just wants a job to continue to be in the NFL, and he can help you from time to time in short doses, I'd look at it. But if he's looking to get any kind of money out of the deal, I don't think he's got much left.
His base salary is $3 million last year. Like, that's almost league minimum. Like, he's playing to play. He's not playing to get kicked. And he's not worth it anymore because he's a third, fourth running back at best. I wouldn't hate him in the room, but we're not talking about third or fourth running backs. And if he was one of my top two running backs, Texans would be in deep, deep trouble. And he is good at picking up the block.
Can he kick?
He's a solid third down running back,
it
really.
It sounds like we're doing fullback dives with a different jersey
number.
It does.
Can he kick?
That's what it feels like.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
He's not an efficient runner anymore. He hasn't been an efficient runner in 3 years.
But your top two are not supposed to be efficient runners.
He wouldn't be a really a running back for you. And it's hard to carry those guys because usually those guys play special teams, like your third and fourth running backs. But he would be your passing down running back. Like, he's going to catch the ball out of the backfield. He's going to block and pass protection. He'd be a very gimmicky player. And it's hard to have gimmicky players like that if they don't play special teams, and he doesn't. But he does still have that role in the NFL. I think he's going to be on a roster next year. Like, we mock it, but he will be.
I'd be interested to see if that happens.
I think that
him
would
on a
mean,
roster?
Though,
he caught 50 passes. He'll be on a roster?
Yeah, but man, it was the Patriots offense. He's not catching 50 passes because he's an explosive player in the
past. Not saying
game.
That, but do you think he's
going to
be on a roster,
though?
Because
they had nothing else to do but dump it off.
Okay. I'm going
to
say no.
Do you think he'll be on an NFL team next year?
I don't. It's I don't possible. Think he will be. At the start of the season, for sure, no. Maybe a pickup because of an injury. I just don't see it.
I think you're selling Ezekiel a little short. Now, I'm not saying he's good anymore. Like, let's not get it twisted. We're kind of picking, you know, nits here. I think he's still an NFL running back on somebody's bench, RB3, RB4 at best. And we spent too much time talking about RB3s and RB4s.
But if he can kick, Jeremy, then you got your solution to Ogunbowale, and he can step in.
They do need a backup kicker. Yep. And currently, there's not a kicker on this roster.
That's a very good point.
So there is that. All right, Dane Brugler is where we're going with our mock draft today. Yesterday's mock results, we had Kenyon Mitchell, Nate Wiggins, Chop Robinson, and Latu after the Texans traded up using Lance Erline's mock. Kenyon Mitchell won the vote 43%, Chop Robinson 29%. So Kenyon Mitchell, I wouldn't say that was running away with it, but pretty substantial win over Chop Robinson. Today, Dane Brugler, The Athletic. Your usual's up top. Caleb Williams at one. This one has Drake May at two. Fingers crossed on that one. Atlanta goes Jaden Daniels. They trade up, blah, blah, blah. Won't get into the particulars there. Arizona takes Marvin Harrison. Then Rome Odunze goes number five to Chicago. Malik Nabers number six. He has J.J. McCarthy at number seven to the Vikings, who trade up. Quarterbacks along the way. Interesting picks. Brock Bowers, 12, to Denver. Brian Thomas Jr. at 15. That's as high as I've seen him go, the LSU receiver. I don't love that because I want one of these receivers to fall to the Texans in the second round. I don't see it happening after the combine. Byron Murphy goes 18 to Cincinnati. That's dangerous. They get their replacement for – who's the dude with the quad that used to be a Texan? The defensive tackle, big nose tackle.
DJ Reader?
Yeah, Reader. They're a Reader replacement. My brain's mush today. All right, moving on down to the Houston Texans, number 23. He has them selecting UCLA edge, Latu. I'm going to have to figure out how to say this guy's name. I think I said it right. How would you feel if Latu was the Texans pick at 23?
I'd be good with it because I would know that you have a defensive-minded head coach that has to sign off on this pick, and he's been pretty good at being able to find his type guys to fit his type of defense. And the fact that you could get a guy that he and Nick agree upon that could be the replacement for John Grenard, and you're getting him in the first round where I want them to spend it on a defensive player, I would be just fine with that.
Yeah, I'd totally be fine with Latu if he was the pick here. Brian, any disagreement?
No disagreement at all. It's obviously, I would argue it's your biggest position of need. I mean, the only question would be, you know, is he best player available? I don't really have an answer for that, but it's certainly, as it was pointed out to us by Matt Miller earlier in the show, and you can find that on the podcast page, edge rusher is going to be gone in the second round, or at least the edge rushers you could pick up and actually start. So, yeah, cross that off the board and move on to the next need. I like the pick.
All right, four picks that we have today to choose from. Latu at 23, A.D. Mitchell goes 24, Cooper DeJean goes 25, and Graham Barton goes number 26. So this is about as good a multiple choice as we've had in quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think that all four could be in play here. Now, if all four are on the board, you can cross out one of them. But if you have those four options, Latu, Mitchell, DeJean, and Barton, who's your pick, Blinkers?
To me, it's sticking and staying with who they picked and pick and stay with Latu because of the fact that, going back to what Brian just dropped, that, you know, that I also picked up on, which is the depth is at corner in this draft and not the defensive pass rusher. I'll take the defensive pass rusher in the first round. I'll trust that if I want a corner and I need to add a corner, that there will be still good ones available in the second round. And or you could manipulate and trade if you have to. But I'll stick with the one where the demand should be higher and the depth is not as much, and I'll stay with the defensive pass rusher.
One of the good things about this draft is you're going to have a lot of quarterbacks taken ahead of you, and you don't need that. And you're going to have a lot of tackles taken ahead of you, and you don't need that. So that helps out the Texans at 23. I'm intrigued by all of these picks. Like, if any of these four guys are the pick here, I would be okay with it. Now, if this was who I had available, there's no way I'm taking Graham Barton here. If I had four guys that are available, these four guys at my disposal, Barton wouldn't be my pick. I'm with you. Like, if you're not going to get a good defensive end outside of the top 40, well, you better hurry up and draft that defensive end in the top 40. I think there's going to be good receivers later in the draft. I really like the late first, early seconds. I want the Texans to figure out a way to trade back so they can get both or trade back into the early second. And Cooper DeJean would be fun, too, because he's the great white hope, and he's a polarizing human, and he's trying to bring something back into the NFL that hasn't existed in hundreds and hundreds of years, that's been extinct in football forever. And that's a white corner. But I have to go Latu. Latu would be my pick here as well. Brian, any disagreement?
No, not at all. I would go Latu as well. I haven't been really been swayed by the extremely fast 40 time for Adonai Mitchell. I still don't view him as a guy worthy of the first-round pick. And then obviously you have the injury concerns, the move to safety concerns for Cooper DeJean. So I would go ahead and stick and stay and pick the bigger need with the defensive edge rusher out of UCLA.
Curious how the Hive's going to vote on this at ESPN 97.5 at Jeremy Branham. The early return, it is Super Tuesday, by the way. I mean, voting's in vogue today. Latu at 36%, DeJean, the early voting at 32%, A.D. Mitchell at 27%, and then Graham Barton. Poor Graham Barton. Poor Graham Barton. He's under 5%. This is going to be a tight one, I think. This would be Taiwan. Hopefully no hanging chads in this one. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Speaking of defensive end, are you in on trading for – actually, we're going to do that a little bit later. Eastern time zone over here. Let's cash them or trash them. What are you cashing or trashing? Your hot takes, your overreactions that you want us to cash or trash? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's cash him.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or trash him.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
He's blank on Branham. Time for cash it or trash it. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line. 713-780-3776. Blankers, age before beauty. What are you cashing or trashing?
Chaz McCormick, because of the reins being loosened up and the fun that he's going to have, is going to have a better OPS and batting average than a year ago and will end up at some point hitting fifth in this lineup.
Huh. I thought I remember the Titans for a moment. That scene where Denzel Washington has them all lined up in the gym, and he's giving grief to that one player, and he's like, "I'm going to tell you all the fun we'll be having this year." I don't think. I mean, other than like whenever there's guys ahead of him that get days off, like I he's probably going to hit fifth this year, sure. But
I
kind of
got a little creative with my word.
Like routinely, I don't think that he's routinely going to hit fifth. So. You could nitpick it here. Yeah, I think he's going to have a few games where he bats fifth, but I don't think he's ever going to be an everyday five-hole hitter. So I'll trash it.
Trash. But the more important thing is that he's going to have a better OPS and a better batting average than
he did
a year.
That's way more important. Yeah, that's way more important. I know we talk a lot about batting orders. I think that batting orders are very overrated mostly. Like, as long as you don't screw it up too badly, it's really not going to matter that much. Like, unless you're hitting Yordan ninth and your worst hitter leadoff, like, it's going to be okay. They've done math on this. We're like the best lineup optimized, and like the worst lineup is the difference between like 10 runs a year. Like, it's not that big a deal. What were you doing here, Brian? Cashing or trash?
I'm actually going to cash it because I think purely based on the numbers and the merit last year, Chaz McCormick was no worse than your fifth best hitter, and the two guys he'd have to overcome to move up, and obviously this wouldn't be right away. But our Jose Abreu, we have plenty of questions there. And Yonner Diaz, while we are all impressed with his rookie season, he's a bit of a free swinger that maybe he gets, you know, into where a point where he's scuffling and he gets moved down the batting order until he figures it out a little bit. So I can see Chaz McCormick becoming the fifth hitter for a significant amount of time during the season.
I don't want to spoil another segment a little bit later, so I'll bite my tongue. Cash or trash? I'm going to cash that air hockey is the best arcade game.
Oh, I'm trashing the hell out of that.
Trash.
Papa Shot is the best arcade game of all time. Papa Shot's fantastic.
Papa Shot's not better than air
hockey.
Yes, it
is.
It's a
fake there's
goal.
More
it's
scoring
bitty,
and
with
it's
a,
challenging.
With a small ball.
And whether you get the you know
more
the best
scoring.
Ones. Yeah.
I mean, you make it
scoring
more often.
Makes it sexy.
I know why you like Papa Shot, because there's no defense.
That's
there's
not
no
true.
Defense in Papa Shot. Yes, it is true.
True.
There's not a defense.
Right, but that's not why I like it. No you defense. Don't know me like that. I like it because it's challenging and it's rapid fire.
Air
but
hockey's
you still have
not
to be
challenging?
Good.
Air hockey's not rapid
no,
fire?
It's just a lot of slamming the puck and hoping it slides
I
in the right
I got to
right.
be honest, and I'm going to trash as well. I thought our
you guys
biggest
are no fun.
I thought our biggest disagreement, Jeremy, was the RBIs, but we found
well,
a new
that's
one
not a disagreement.
Because air hockey is the dumbest worst game at an arcade. Not
dumbest
not
worst
the best.
Game.
It's just slamming the I don't even what do you would call it a mallet a whatever the into
it's
the
puck.
No. He's talking about the thing
in
your
hand.
Hand.
What you're holding in your hand. I
don't even know what you call that thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I call it a stick.
It's maybe
it's
but
my
I
air
mean,
hockey
it's not
stick,
a, but it's not shaped like a stick. So I mean, it's got a handle and a disc. I don't know why that would be called a stick, but
it's your orange juicer.
It's hockey.
I guess
it looks
I
like just, an orange juicer.
It's just so basic. It's like, oh, let me slap this as hard as I can and hope somebody didn't guard it. It's just, I hate it.
I'm going to trash your theory because there is one dumber, and that is that crane game trying to get a stuffed animal that's rigged
well,
that always lets go.
I don't mind that
yes,
game.
That is dumber. Financially, that is certainly dumber.
I have a pretty good success rate in that game.
Well,
Virginia
says
ski
a,
ball.
You have a strategy?
Yeah, I lower the crane.
Oh, God,
the best chance of grabbing a limb. Yeah. Isn't that
a
the
limb,
only strategy
don't you think
there
that
is?
Grabbing the head is the best
well,
chance?
Well, a lot of times the head are tucked down low. Like, it's hard to actually get an angle at the head. But yes, if the head's available, then you go with the head.
Line.
Yeah, if the head's available, you go with the head. Virginia says skee ball.
I've heard
I don't,
that
I don't
before.
Know. Nah, definitely not skee ball.
I like skee
I can't
ball.
Believe y'all hate on air hockey.
My wife
are,
loves
noobs.
Skee ball.
I
no
love
wonder
skee
I don't
ball,
like hanging out
Papa
with you guys
Shot.
Outside of the show. You guys don't like fun.
I would argue that air hockey isn't fun.
I would agree with you. Except for kids.
What do you got, Brian?
So I'm going to go back to the Astros to get away from these terrible arcade takes. I'm going to hit you guys with a surprise RBI leader for the 2024 Houston Astros, and that is someone playing for a second contract. I think Alex Bregman is going to lead the Houston Astros in RBI. That might sound far-fetched when you hear it, but he was second on the team last year, so it's not like he's coming from sixth place on the team all the way up to first. And then when you look a little bit deeper into the numbers, his second half of the season, we talk about, you know, Jose Abreu post-injury return, you know, Jose Altuve coming back from the broken hand and how good those guys were. But lost in that is Alex Bregman's second half of the season. His OPS was 901. He was a great player second half of the season. And if we take that batting lineup that it seems like a spot is going to use, and he's sandwiched in between, Yordan and Kyle Tucker with Jose Altuve leading it off, I don't see how Alex Bregman doesn't have just an amazing amount of RBI opportunities.
I just think you still have Kyle Tucker and Yordan Alvarez on this team, and I think that where they're hitting, especially Yordan's going to get plenty of opportunities as it is, and I think Tucker's going to be in a sweet spot with the three guys in front of him. So I'm going to trash it. I hope you're right to some extent, but then I'm also a little leery of the fact that means he's going to get paid more than the Astros can afford to pay.
I don't think general managers pay for RBIs anymore unless Dusty gets a general managing job. They use more of the predictive numbers these days. I don't think Alex Bregman will lead the club in RBIs. I also think that his plate discipline kind of hurts him here. He doesn't swing a ton. He walks a lot. When you're walking a lot, you're not driving in tons of runs. So I think that kind of hurts him a bit in that regard. I have him finishing third. I think he'll be behind Kyle Tucker, Yordan Alvarez, and then Bregman. I would go Tucker leads the team in RBIs, so I'll trash this one.
Trash.
Let's phrase this into a cash or trash 2912. I'm doing your assignment for you, 2912. Last time I do that. Cash or trash, J.J. McCarthy will have a better year than Kirk Cousins in 2024.
Trash it, because J.J. McCarthy's probably not going to start whoever drafts him. And if he does,
I disagree with that.
And if he does, I don't think that he's going to be anywhere close to having a C.J. Stroud-type year. And I think that Kirk Cousins...
He doesn't have to have a Stroud year. He's had to be better than Cousins.
Right, but I think that Cousins is going to be fine coming off the injury. I think that he'll go to a team where there's weapons and that he'll, in the regular season, he's seen everything before. He's been through it. And if he's got weapons to throw to, he's proven he can get them to him. And I think that maybe J.J. McCarthy might have a better career than Kirk Cousins, but next year I don't see it happening.
Tyler and Conroe, I'm going to trash it, too. I don't love your reasons. Like, I don't know why you compare him to C.J. Stroud.
I'm just saying, for a rookie to come in with all the challenges, C.J. Stroud did something that we've never seen another quarterback do. But even if you don't do C.J. Stroud, the fact is, a rookie trying to, you know, get settled in, feel comfortable, learn defenses, learn the playbook, do everything at a higher speed. I just think it is very challenging, and I don't see that J.J. McCarthy is a guy that's going to pull that off in his first year.
Yeah, I mean, it's McCarthy or Cousins, like, in a very simple way. I'm going to go Cousins. I think Cousins has a better 2024. 2885, Denver without Wilson is in a deep rebuild.
Well,
that's a fact.
Duh.
I think they're already there. Yeah.
Now it's just a matter of how deep are they? Like, are they going to keep some of their younger players, like their receivers, like Sutton and those guys, and Judy, or are they just going to completely let Peyton just rip the Band-Aid off and start all the way over?
8185 says pinball. Best arcade game. Pinball is pretty good. I do like
pinball. I like pinball. Most arcades I've been to don't have pinball anymore.
You got to go to an old school one.
Really?
Like, if you go to like a Dave and Buster's, I don't know how many pinball machines they have.
Even the arcades in the malls, like Katy Mills Mall and the other ones, they don't have pinball anymore.
Interesting.
Pinball seems like one of those games, though, that's... I know people are good at it, but it looks impossible to actually be good at.
No, that's not true. Hand-eye. It's all about hand-eye. Like, if you have a good hand-eye coordination, you're going to be better. That's the key attribute in pinball, is hand-eye. Now, a lot of it's chance, obviously. But if you have better hand-eye than the next guy, you're going to have better success
in pinball.
Yeah,
your quick twitch.
Hand-eye.
Very important, yep.
I think those kind of go hand-in-hand.
Yeah.
I think those kind of go hand-in-hand. I didn't mean to do that. I'm just naturally funny.
I didn't even know I was funny. Oh, I didn't need to follow.
600, it was an unintentional, hilarious joke. 6005 is pool, an arcade game. Nah, that's a bar game.
Okay.
Bar games and arcade games are different. What's your favorite bar game?
Oh, bar darts, for sure.
Wouldn't it just be darts?
In the Midwest, we called it bar darts.
What's the difference between darts and bar darts?
Bar darts is the plastic tip, more like vending machine darts, as opposed to real darts, the steel tip. You bring your own. You get real intense with it.
Well, that's why I asked, because now I know that. I didn't realize that was the difference. Mine's shuffleboard. I love shuffleboard. Probably because it's like curling.
Such an old man take.
I love shuffleboard, man. Tyler and Conroe, it's RBIs for plural because it's very possible to have a singular RBI. I love you, Tyler and Conroe. They make them smarter in the north side. 1642 went to the highway to hell. Clint talking about how he can't wipe his rear because he has poison ivy. At least y'all stick to sports. Not always. Why did you leave, 1642?
Why
did you flip over?
Yeah, what did we say that steered you away to make you have to realize that when you go elsewhere, you find out how good you've had it and come back home?
Have you ever had poison ivy?
No, I have not.
I haven't either.
No, make it unanimous. I haven't either.
I've never had it. All right, that's it for Cash It or Trash It. Now, are you in on trading for Hassan Reddick? Rumor out there that the Texans are calling on Hassan Reddick. Are you in on that for the Texans? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I'm going to give you a double whammy on Doc Linville on why you should call him up and see what he can do for you, because we know that there's a lot of different times of the year, and I always speak about the NeoGraft procedure, and I'll tell you about it again, but also to be aware of the fact, Doc Linville is one of the best in terms of all kinds of spa treatments, plastic surgery, and other things as well. And if you have a birthday coming up for a significant other, or you just want to give her a gift that maybe keeps giving for you, you can look into Botox, spa treatments, and other things with Doc Linville. But if you're looking for the NeoGraft procedure, he is also the best in the business at that. I know from personal experience. If you're losing your hair, you have pattern baldness, thinning, and you just don't think there's any way to get it back, you're not interested in the masking of the problem like the spray and the creams and the foams, check out Doc Linville and the NeoGraft procedure. Go to 975hair.com right now. There's a lot of information on the site, but more so than that, you get a free consultation if you go through 975hair.com with Doc and his staff. It normally costs $150. For you, it's absolutely free. There's no signing on the dotted line, no money out of pocket, just you getting answers to your questions and finding out if it might be a permanent solution for your hair loss. I couldn't be happier with the fact that I did the procedure, and he is, simply put, the best in the business. He knows all the treatments, what your specific case is going to need, and how to get you the best results. Maybe you don't need the NeoGraft, and you just need PRP. That's just like putting fertilizer on the lawn. But if you need the full-blown resodding, he can do that too. Genetically, you're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, so that's where he starts, by taking a few follicles here and there, moving them where you need them most, and giving you better coverage, a better hairline, or just simply put more hair on your head where you need it most. Check him out today. Tell him I sent you by, because I truly believe he's the best in the business. Go to 975hair.com.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
6856, hey, Bee Ham. Never been called that. I don't know how I feel about it. If you've been in the woods and never got poison ivy, it's because of your 3%. Black people don't get the ivy. There you go. There's proof in the pudding. You all thought I was running my mouth, lying about that, but now I got receipts.
On poison ivy?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what the texter says. If I've never gotten it, then that would show you the 3%.
So because the texter said it, it has to be true?
I believe our texters. We have a very smart audience. Do you disagree?
I think you do, based on all of our audience. If you kind of segment it in Twitch, Twitter, and text.
I just give them grief. I play with them. I think our audience is the smartest audience in all of sports radio. Do you disagree?
Overall, no.
There you go.
3897,
road beer, shower beer, garage beer. What? I can't believe you led with road beer.
Could lead to other things. More than road rash, but okay.
Okay. 3367, grilling and barbecuing made me want a cold
beer. That's a very good one.
That is a good cold beer. 8437, brewing beer is one of my favorites, and when it comes to making me want a cold beer, I imagine, like, I've never dabbled in the brewing of beer. I dabble in a lot of things. I've never dabbled in the beer brewing. But I can imagine, like, I cook from time to time, not often, but I cook from time to time, and whenever I cook, like, I'm eating as I cook. You know what I mean?
Yep, for sure.
So I could see that.
Sometimes, too, beer can add a extra flavor element to certain sauces and things that you're making as well.
The pairings.
That's right. I'm telling you what, there's some good pizza sauce that uses beer in the pizza sauce, and it's fantastic.
Any good beers go with ketchup?
Because of the fact that you can have a nice cold beer with a burger and fries, and it's perfect.
Yeah, I think the savory aspect of it would make it a pretty good pairing. 2833, cold beer with ghost pepper wings. I'm not huge on ghost
Me
pepper
either.
Wings. I love wings, as we all know. I'm not a big ghost pepper wing guy. And this one says, my favorite beer is the $30 beer at the airport when you're leaving to go on vacation. That is a good beer. I was in the airport today. I got asked to move seats today, Blankers.
Did you do it?
I did. I got guilted into doing it.
Why'd you get guilted?
Because I prefer the window seat, and I traded away a window seat for an aisle seat.
Ooh, how long was the flight?
It was only 2 hours. Okay. And it was for a family. Like, they had a four-year-old, and it's like, okay, like, I have kids, you have kids.
Yep.
Like, I'll make the trade-off for a kid. You know
for
what
sure.
I mean? For a kid, yeah, done. And it was the aisle. It wasn't the middle, you know, so it's not too awful.
You're a good man for doing that.
Yeah, thank you. I wasn't trying to brag. I was just bringing it up.
I'm just giving you texture. Props on it.
There's something else that happened in the airport. I had two airport stories, but I can't remember the other one. I'll try to think of it. 9062, would you sign Dalvin Cook to the Texans, and if so, how much?
Nope. I saw enough to think that I was an idiot for thinking he had a whole lot left at all last year. I'm not going to be a fool that does that twice. If I'm out on Ezekiel Elliott, then I'm out on Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, I think Cook has more in the tank than Ezekiel Elliott, and I feel like, I mean, Cook was behind Breece Hall, so like we didn't really see how much he had left in the tank, but I'm out on that too.
Well, we saw him in Baltimore late where they tried to give him carries, and he just
I feel like it was too late though, you know what I mean? Like he didn't really get a chance to get acclimated, but I'm with you. But if one of them were to have a good year, I would go Cook over Zeke.
Yeah, for sure. Of the two, and I mean, if Dalvin can kick, then we also are in business.
0265, would you rather draft a corner in the first round or sign Stephon Gilmore for the Texans?
Price matters. I mean, Stephon Gilmore would be a nice short-term other corner to put
opposite. Call it market value. Let's go market value.
Nah, I'll draft a corner before I'll put my money in Stephon Gilmore.
I'll probably go Gilmore because of the opportunity cost of having the first rounder. Because if I sign Gilmore, now I can go defensive end at 23. Like I think I like the pairing more of signing Gilmore and then drafting what I want at 23.
What is his fair market value?
I don't know. I haven't.
Because I gotta believe it's like in the 10 to 14 range. Right?
I would guess 10 because he's older. Like he's in his mid 30s.
Older but still effective.
I agree. That's why certainly price matters. Yep. Obviously, price matters.
It's 11.1 AAV is this Spotrac projection.
I'm okay with that.
And just a 1-year deal is what they have.
Yeah,
projected.
I wouldn't give them more than a year. I wouldn't give them more than a year. I don't hate that. Like, that's, again, I want to enter the draft with my starting positions filled with at least capable
starters. What's Stevie Nelson looking for, or what's his market value? Because if Stevie Nelson is more, then I would rather have Gilmore. If it's less, I'll sign up for another year of Stevie Nelson. Although I think Stevie Nelson's definitely looking for multiple years.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't hate if Gilmore is a free agent signing of the Texans, though. I do like what he brings to the table, but not more than a year.
He and Nick have some history, too, right?
That's right. I hadn't even put that together.
Spotrac has a Steven Nelson projected at 3 years, $30 million, so 10.2.
Well, if that's the difference between the two of them, I think Gilmore's still, right now in his career, is a better corner.
Nelson
and it's a
is
1 year
two years
deal.
Younger. That would be the another
But I think
factor.
Gilmore's better.
Yeah, I'd rather go Gilmore 1 year than Nelson I would do three. That. Because Nelson could get washed in those 3 years, too. Gilmore, you only have him for the one. He could get washed in that one, but it's only a one.
And if you're developing a corner that you get maybe a little later in the draft or the draft next year or whatever, you have other options, you can still find your long-term answer. But we just heard from Matt Miller the fact that the draft is deep with corners but not so deep with defensive linemen.
Yeah, you could get a project corner like in the third or fourth that maybe is your nickel right away, and then maybe you move him outside to boundary corner whenever Gilmore leaves in a year. Like, there's so many different options. I'd rather have Gilmore at that projection than Nelson at that projection. 0018 into the work Friday beer. That's a good one, too. All right, Hassan Reddick. There's rumors out there that the Texans are calling on Hassan Reddick. This is from Tony Pauline. Of course, he's been really good. I think he's had a better career than John Grenard. I think that the seasons they had in 2023 are very similar. Are you in on Hassan Reddick for the Houston Texans?
No, we talked about this about a month ago, and I just, the more I thought about it, I think his best seasons are behind him. I think that he's starting to get older. He wants another big deal. He's chasing a bag. I don't think you want to get into that deal with a guy that maybe has played his best football already, or he's close to doing that. And he's looking for multiple years at a really high price tag. And I don't know what you got to give up. I can't imagine you got to give up too much to get him, but I don't know what the Eagles are trying to get back for him. But regardless, if I have to give and then give again and give multiple years and a very high salary, then I'm not going to, I don't think I'm in that ballgame.
This one doesn't really make sense to me. Like, Reddick's been more, he's been healthier than Grenard. I think he does have a better resume than Grenard. Grenard and Reddick's seasons have been very similar. But it's more about what they're going to do for the next 3 years.
Yep.
And you didn't tag Grenard? Like, so do you want to spend $20 million-plus on a defensive end? Because if you trade for Reddick, and I agree with you, I don't think that the draft cap, the trade capital will be all that much, maybe a third, fourth rounder, maybe even more a fourth rounder than a third. And then you're extending him, you're locking him up. I don't want to do that. I'd rather just franchise tag Grenard or give Grenard a 3 or 4 year deal.
You know what?
It's probably cheaper money.
You know the other thing though, Jeremy. I've got a feeling about this. I don't think Grenard's going to get what he thinks he's going to get. And I think that when we go back to the fact that Caserio had made those comments about, I don't want to talk about possibly tagging him and then put the price tag too high. I think there's a chance you could get Grenard, who's younger, at a lesser number. And then those 2 or 3 years make sense, as opposed to a guy where Reddick is in his career, age-wise, and maybe ability-wise.
Out on Reddick, 8807, if a Super Bowl contender wants to trade their defensive end, then maybe there's an issue. Yeah, but the issue could be contract.
It is
going into the final year of his deal.
Yep.
So it might not be something like that's huge. It could just be totally financial, which usually it is whenever you're talking about like disgruntled players with a lowercase d. The more and more I try to think of what the Texans are doing by not putting the tag on Grenard and letting him touch free agency, and then like the Caserio comments, but still locking up Schultz, I wonder if Nick Caserio feels what you just said, where you don't think that John Grenard is going to get what he thinks he's worth. Because if that is the scenario that plays out, then I believe that's what Nick Caserio's philosophy is here. Okay, we said at the combine that, you know, maybe they let a player into the market. That way they can test free agency, see what their true value is. Doesn't want to use the franchise tag, because now if you're looking at a multi-year extension, they're going to use that as the bar. I feel, as I piece this all together throughout the day on franchise tag deadline day, I feel that Nick Caserio feels like he has a pretty decent chance at re-signing John Grenard in free agency at a lower price than what he feels he's worth, what you just said.
Yep. And you know what, Jeremy? This is the old Daryl Morey, Clint Capela move. If you feel like you're worth that, then go out and find me the offer that shows you, that shows me that you can get that. If you can't, it doesn't mean we're not interested in you. We just feel like we have a number in our head. You have a different number in yours. Go out, test the market, see if you can get it. If you still want us to see if we're willing to match it, bring it back to us. If not, we appreciate all you've done for us.
Yeah, I think that's what the play is. Like, why didn't you tag him? Well, you want him on a multi-year deal, but you don't want it at $20 million. You must feel like you have a pretty good chance in free agency. I think that's where he's at. I think that's where Caserio is at.
And I think the market's working against him with the amount of guys that are probably going to command the top dollar.
Well, that you mean against Grenard and for Caserio.
Yeah, right, yes.
Yeah. If that plays out, even if it doesn't play out, I think that's where Casario's mind is at. I think that's where it's at. 713-780-ESPN. I came across something. We know that Nick Caserio loves Nico Collins. He brings him up unprovoked and talks about contract extensions. Don't mention him in a window. I found some Nick Collins disrespect. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.